I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Judiciary Policy and Finance Committee, February 25, 2004. Clerk, would you take the roll, please?
Chairman Smith?
Here.
Representative Eastland?
Here.
Anderson? Blaine? Ellison? Fuller? Hillstrom?
Here.
Hilty?
Here.
Johnson? Lesh? Littman? Meslow? Murphy? Hamar?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Rhodes? Soderstrom?
Here.
Strand?
Here.
Tao?
Here.
Walls?
Here.
Okay, we'll hold the consideration of the minutes for a bit. We'll go on to presentation on the other two items on our agenda. The first one is House File 2310. Representative Heidgerken, if you'd step forward. Sauk Center, former Minnesota Correctional Facility purchase bonds issued and money appropriated. You have two testifiers.
Thank you. Yes, I do. I'll introduce the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
Representative Heidgerken, the chair would move the bill to get it before the committee. It would be our intent to lay it over afterwards for possible inclusion in the bills that we forward to the Capital Investment Committee. So it's before us. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Representative Bud Heidgerken, I am basically attending this meeting for a request. It's a bonding request for $4 million with options. It's for nonviolent offenders, a minimum security. The packet that you have in front of you, and I'll have my testifiers come up here in just a second, there's a building layout in there. There's 21 total buildings. There's 18 that are in good condition, 15 up to code, and there's 140 acres. There's notations on the buildings that are most suitable for use. There's also a history of the facility in there. So there's a lot of information there in regards to the history of that facility itself. The location is Sauk Center, Minnesota. As most of you know, it's the Main Street. It's where Sinclair Lewis made the town quite popular. It's 45 miles west of St. Cloud, and that is very important because there's a very large institution at St. Cloud, and it's used as a dropout place as well. Senator Dean Johnson is carrying the bill in the Senate, and he will have the companion bill. This is previously a correctional facility for youth owned by the state up through 99. It was functional through 99. It was privately purchased, as mentioned there, in 2001. There have been, and it's mentioned in the packet as well, there's been over $1 million spent on the remodeling of the Morris Hall in the last 10 years. There's another $1 million that was spent just a number of years ago on the Sullivan Building. There are also other monies spent on other buildings out there. It's a very, very well-maintained campus. The proposal, again, is for a minimum security facility, 200 beds available. I know that Faribault is in the play, but this is an option in case we run into another scenario where you need some place to put the prisoners in the meantime, or if something happens with Faribault one way or another. The building itself, the rooms are 70 square feet, meet the standards, meets all health department codes, available for sale, and up and running, could be up and running in 30 days. It's EDH approved, most of all of the buildings are. No major alterations needed. It has a full kitchen, stainless steel, commercial, Representative Strawn. I wish I had that at Charlie's Cafe. But anyways, it's a very, very nice facility. There are pictures in front of you that you can look at. I think Mr. Carter is somewhat familiar with the facility, as well as I think there's a couple other people that are here in attendance that are familiar with it. At this point, I will bring my testifiers up here. If you turn to page 9, and the historical significance behind this facility is well mentioned there and summarized. It says in the second last paragraph, each of the buildings on the campus is described as either contributing or non-contributing. The subject property is further described as significant as it represents the cottage theory of state institutional design, as well as the work of Clarence H. Johnson, Sr., a prolific St. Paul architect in the first 30 years of the 20th century. The buildings of the home school are constructed according to county system of institutional care, which is the design theory used by state hospitals and mental asylums in the late 19th century. The system called for institutions.
Excuse me a minute. Page yep. 9, tell us what document that's in. I can't.
Oh, it's in the first major document.
This?
Yes.
Is that this?
It should be in the one previous to that, right in front of it. It goes 9, 10, 11, 12. There's two pages in between there, Representative Smith, between that and that.
Okay, hang on just a minute.
You bet.
And that would be page 9 of a document that's clipped to some other things, and it's headed up on page 1, summary of property information. Is that it?
Right.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Representative Mezzo, welcome. The system call for...
Well, it's good to be aboard. I wouldn't have missed it so far.
Okay. The system call for institutions to be built away from the populace in the rural area to create a private, tranquil atmosphere, with farm operations often becoming a integral part of the property. So when you see a root cellar there and you see a horse barn, those are just a couple of the buildings that were used. It's a very nice, and I'll have the mayor of Sauk Center and the owner address some of the buildings out there that have a first-hand experience with it. And at this time, I will bring the testifiers forth, if that's okay with you, Chair. Smith.
That'd be fine. Representative, I'm sure it's in here somewhere. You may have even said so, but you said the property was privately purchased in 2000?
2001.
2001. For what price was it?
And you can answer that. And the owner's here.
Okay. Bring him on.
Okay, thank you.
I've heard that.
Introduce
yourself first. Gentlemen, we've got an audio record going. We only have two bills, but let's move along, see what we can accomplish quickly. And an audio record is on, so I will need you to state your name and go through the chair and proceed. If we have questions, we'll go from there.
My name is James Joss, and I am the owner of the correction facility at this time.
Thank you.
And I'm Mayor Paul Tyson from Sauk Center.
Thank you very much, and welcome, gentlemen. Who wants to go first?
There was a question raised.
Just remind us again, when the purchase was privately purchased in 2001, what was the purchase price?
I wasn't the first purchaser of the property.
Do you know what that price was?
No, I do not.
Does anybody know what the price was in 2001?
$1.6 million. Sorry.
Okay, and the improvements subsequent to that time were when and how much were those improvements? The price of. Do you have that?
I've been maintaining the property. I bought the property for $2.2 million.
What year was that, Mr. Jowles?
2 years ago.
2002?
Correct.
You paid $2.2 million. Was there any additional improvements that you made to the property?
We've been maintaining the property. We've worked on it pretty extensively since we purchased it. We've done a lot of painting. We were looking at opening the facility, so we've had the health department through, the fire marshal through. We've done all the requirements that we felt we could do to get the facility up and running. I've been paying the heat, the electricity, the real estate taxes, the maintenance of the property, plus a substantial mortgage payment. So I have about $3.5 million into this investment right now.
It's my understanding that you said you want to entertain questions. Do you have any presentation that you'd care to make in addition to what the representative did?
Mayor Tyson, Paul Tyson from Sauk Center. My interest in this whole affair is that when that facility closed, we lost one of our major employers. There was nearly 100 jobs were lost, And for our small community, that was a significant impact. And we tried to acquire the property from the state, but we could not get the restrictions removed that it could only be used for public purpose. Public purpose for us would have meant two buildings. Well, the facility is just too large. It was too large for us to handle. So we backed away from that, and I felt confident at that time that the buildings and the entire facility was in such pristine condition that surely something would surface to be able to return those up to 100 jobs back to our community. That has not happened until Mr. Joust came on board. And now we're trying, my interest is to get these jobs replaced. Mr. Joust did send a newsletter to every box holder, every citizen in our city, and that was received in their mail. The earliest would have been last Saturday. Most of those folks in our town got the letter on Monday. He was outlining what he was attempting to do, and he was soliciting response from the community. We got those responses, and I don't have enough copies for everybody here, but we got close to how many? We got about a dozen responses just in the first day, and out of that, we had two people who were somewhat negative. One was an individual that just recently moved to our community, and of course you talk about prison or confinement and they get all excited. And the other one was somebody that has lived in our community for a while. And we will see if we can't enlighten that individual and let him know that the facility will not be a threat to him as he thinks it is. These letters are here if anybody would care to. We can make copies for the committee members, but there will be more coming. So, outside of that, I guess I don't know of anything else that I could comment at this time. So, Mr. Dallas, if there's...
Mayor?
Yes.
A few questions. The facility how long, up until when, was the facility being used as a housing facility for delinquent girls and made coeducational in 1967? Am I getting the history of the place
yes.
correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When did it cease being used as a facility to house delinquents?
1999. In the latter part of 99.
Just as an aside, how long have you been a resident of the area?
I've been, this is where I grew up. I went to school there. We moved there after World War II.
That's long enough. You have firsthand knowledge.
I have firsthand knowledge,
of the facility and its effect in the community and so forth. Has there been any trouble in the community with having this type of facility right there?
There has been in the past. My parents had a car that was stolen by a runaway. In fact, some of the people who had who responded to the letter just the first day, one of them I know had a vehicle stolen some years ago, and she is excited about the facility being back in use again. For the juveniles, some of my background in that facility, I had a fire equipment company, and I made the inspection through all of the buildings, checking the fire extinguishers, and I installed a fire system in the main kitchen. So I've been through every nook and cranny in that facility, and it's been very well maintained, and that's the part that I felt so confident that when the state walked away from it, that's a political question that I don't have an answer for. It baffles me to this day that they would take those young people out of that pristine environment and anything anywhere else would have been substandard to what they had there.
Well, let me ask the question this way. Has there, you're the owner, Mr. Giles, you're the mayor, sir. Have you had, are you aware of any discussions that you've had or anyone's had with the state or the Department of Corrections relative to their wanting the place again or wanting to use the place or willingness to do so?
Not to my knowledge.
I guess my response to that is they're looking at expanding corrections and spending millions, $75 million, I think is the figure that I've heard, to build more corrections. And here you have a facility that can house up to 200 people for a minute fraction of what that place would be. And again, this facility has been used for a correction facility since it's for close to 100 years. And has spent millions of dollars on it, getting all of code requirements, ADA requirements, and so forth. And it is in excellent shape.
At one last question of mine, at least for now. At the height of it, the population within that facility, how many persons were housed under the corrections department? What was your maximum that you've had there at any given time?
I think the 120 to 128, something like that, I think was the... there was a time when they had more, but I think they were double bunking them at that time, and that is, and they had to quit doing that.
Okay. Further questions or any questions from the committee? I don't see any. I'm sorry, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, so Joe said the barns still there, and are they usable?
Yes, the barns are in perfect condition. All of the buildings on the property, I mean, they just had, a lot of them just had new roofs put on them. They've been, like I say, absolutely immaculately maintained, the whole property.
Mr. Joseph, room for gardens?
Absolutely. There's 140 acres of land, and there is a tremendous amount of room for gardens.
Mr. Joseph, room for making hay?
Yes, there is. There's hay fields on the property.
They're not all brushed in, or they haven't grown up with brush?
No, I've hired a farmer to keep all of the farmland is still in farm, still being farmed.
There's also a natural habitat area, too, that has native grasses that was planted some years ago, and that area still remains and is maintained.
And, Mr. Chair, do I remember a pond or water on that land?
Yes, I've since donated that to the City of Sauk Center for a nature park.
So,
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Mr.
Guest,
that wouldn't be part of the facility.
No, that would not be.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, would that be available for
people that are at the facility
to use?
Yes. To enjoy? I would imagine, I guess that's a tough question. It's public property.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, you, sir, are you,
you're the mayor, right?
Yeah. Right. So he donated that to the city. So that's why I was asking you that question.
Okay. I wouldn't have any objection to that being used. There's enough buffer room around there that could be used without a great deal of problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Any further questions from anybody? Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, in your earlier remarks, you said that you had done a lot of maintenance and painting work, and I believe what you said was that you had the intention of reopening the facility. Mm-hmm. Reopening it as what?
Mr. Jones.
Actually, we're still looking at reopening or selling it, but what I do in Duluth, we have residential care facilities, board and care facilities, and that's what we're looking at opening it up as.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Joss, it seems you're abandoning that concept. Could you tell us why?
Mr. Charles.
Funding.
Any other questions? Anyone in the audience wanting to be heard on this bill, pro or con or any input? I don't raise your hand. I don't see anything. Representative Heidgergen, if you'd take the table again and see if we have any cleanup questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a general comment, the letters that were received, all of them have been in a positive note except for two that have some questions. And it's a very, very nice campus. It's just a lot. The buildings are very well kept up, and I think hopefully that it has place for a facility such as this. To be fair to all of the members here, I also did propose this as a facility for the veterans. So it's just a nice facility. It could be used for something, and it would probably, in the long run, save the state a lot of money.
Very good.
Thank you all.
Hang on. Representative Hilde, you have another question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Heidgert, and I realize you weren't here at the time, but I have some kind of vague recollections of what the arguments were when this facility was sold. And I believe what the state was maintaining at that time was that it was way too expensive to maintain. Have you had any conversations with the people in the Department of Administration that advocated the sale of this property in the first place? Have they changed their mind?
I have not had any conversations in regards to that in particular. I know a little bit of the history of why it was particularly closed. I mean, they were running a very nice institution. I believe that moved over to Moose Lake, and it used to be the model. It was a model for the nation. Mr. Carter, what happened to the inmates there?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, they moved to Red Wing. It was the juvenile facility there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Stand corrected. Okay. But that's basically the history that I have. I have not had anybody relay that to me.
Okay. If there's nothing, or rather anything further, we're going to move along. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you all. Thank you for your time.
Chair will lay the bill over for later.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I asked them who their teacher was.
Gentlemen, you're still here and you heard the question. You got an answer for it. Thank you.
Who's your teacher?
Okay, Representative Solberg. House File 2157. Representative Murphy, do we have a motion on this? Motion on the bill?
Sure she will. She wasn't my teacher, but I know she'd move it.
Possible inclusion.
All right. Thank you. Welcome. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think, has there been an amendment passed out as well?
No.
If not, I think it's available. If it's,
I guess we do have one. We'll get it passed out right now.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I think maybe it'd be good to have that inserted so we have it in the form that we would like to have it, if that's at all possible.
Representative Murphy moves. Or will.
It's A1.
A1.
Very good. Representative Murphy moves the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that she would like it. If there's no discussion, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion prevails. 2157 as amended is before us. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to present this bill. This bill was brought to me by some county organizations, mainly St. Louis County, but it's something that I've been very interested in for quite some time. As you probably know, I was the chief author of the state taking over the cost of public defenders, and that was a long process, but I think we made some progress on taking that off the property tax and away from the county's obligation and into a state-run system to have some uniformity throughout the state. I was also the chief author, and along with Representative Abrams and other, as we go to state taking over some of the other costs, county court administrators and so forth, and actually having them become state employees and have some uniformity throughout the state. A few years ago, under Governor Carlson, he appointed a task force headed by Judge Cohen, and it was the interest at the time of First Lady Mrs. Carlson that talked about securities in courthouses throughout the state of Minnesota. I and a couple other senators and another rep served on that task force, and we toured a couple of the courthouses. You know, many courthouses were built in the early part of the 19th or 20th century, and their security is wholly lacking. That was before 9/11, and the issues that have been brought forward on security with the courthouses in general. There has been a conflict, I think, in some counties. I remember one time, and I told these gentlemen, I got a call from a county attorney in one of the counties at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning when I was in bed. And I don't know as if I've told very many people off in my life, but I did tell him off, who said if you're going to take over the cost of the employees and take over the, and get some money to take over the cost of my courthouse too. And I said, well, we can solve that problem. We'll give all the employees back to you, and then you can have all that cost. But I do think that we are establishing a healthy partnership between the counties and the state on the judicial system. And this bill is an attempt to at least help it address some of the problems that are associated with courthouse security and courthouse having housing quite a few state employees in it. I have with me Dennis Finks, who is the chair of the St. Louis County Board of Commissioners, and I'd like to have him give some testimony, if you would, please.
Commissioner Fink, state your name for the record, and then please go ahead.
My name is Dennis Fink. I'm from Duluth, Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Dennis Fink, and I am a St. Louis County Commissioner from the central part of Duluth. I'm also president of AMC. Next year marks a historic milestone for Minnesota state-county financial relationships, for after nearly 15 years, the phase-in of the court system will have been complete. With this achievement of this milestone, now is the perfect time to reassess the state takeover and determine whether there is any oversights or unintended consequences which result. On the surface, the takeover, the trade-off of the counties exchanging their HACA and the court fines for the assumption of the state's assumption of the employee costs in the district courts seems very reasonable, logical, and a functional exchange, a reasonable partnership. But providing equal quality public service, safety, and equal quality public judicial services across the state are more properly a function of the state income tax and sales tax rather than that of the local property taxes, and the vast inequity, unequal property wealth that exists across our state. With that said, this legislation before you today is an attempt to address a few of the inconsistencies in the original legislation. And now that the final judicial court is about to be taken over, having Representative Solberg, who was one of the original authors of the court takeover, be the sponsor of this legislation is further evidence that there needs to be some serious effort into addressing these final unfinished pieces of the state takeover. What I'm specifically referring to is the awkward situation that exists in all 87 of our county courthouses, where more than 50% of the employees working there are now state employees. And unlike other non-state-owned buildings where the state employees work, and clearly there is an offsetting benefit to the counties for having this function there, the state will be getting free rent, free utilities, and free maintenance costs. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot, but based on the cost of our courthouse in Duluth, just one, incurring during the last year for the utilities and the maintenance costs, the state has received approximately $550,000 in benefits for these free utilities, rents, and maintenance. So what incentive does the counties have to go ahead and modernize or, in fact, do the new security systems that are necessary? Mr. Chair, the members of the committee, this legislation is an attempt to improve the financial imbalance and disincentive for counties to make the kind of capital improvements that our courthouses, which have been benefit to all the tenants and users, are in so critical need. In a nutshell, what this legislation proposes is to create a partnership, a state fund which counties could apply to in order to help offset up to 50% of the costs of their courthouse improvements. Also, when it comes to the critical issue of courthouse security, up to 100% of the cost would be covered. By incorporating some dollars now into the County Courthouse Improvement Fund, we will have successfully renewed our statewide county local fiscal responsibility, which currently has taken several hard body blows in the last year. The amendment to this legislation was drafted to place the system in place. Let me just restart that. This legislation has been drafted to set in place a system by which each judicial district can begin the process of applying for funds. It is my suggestion that for this, the very first biennium funding to the counties for this improvement fund be simply included at a $10 million $10 million in the bonding fund. Each district, there are 10 of them, would have the equal opportunity to go after the funds, and the funds would be set aside so that there would be $1 million available for each of the districts. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, I do need an amendment also, a couple of technical amendments, if you would, please. Based on, and I failed to catch this earlier, and that is on page 1, line 9, and I don't know if I've got the right copy, the same one that you did, where it says the state shall pay 50%. It should read up to 50%. And also on line 15, on my copy anyway, where it says the state shall pay 100%, it should be up to 100%. And if someone would be so kind to move that, I think we put it in the correct form.
Representative Murphy moves that oral amendment as stated. I think the committee has that. I've made note of it. Any discussion on that amendment, oral amendment? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. We stand for questions or any other concerns.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, Representative Solberg, Commissioner, you said that the state would pay now up to 100% of the cost of courthouse security. Who will determine what needs of courthouse security is in each courthouse?
Commissioner Fink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Murphy, we're under the impression that the courts have a great deal of flexibility in what is needed in each one of the courthouses. So there would be a collaborative between the judges and the building maintenance folks that we have in the counties, and you would determine what those needs were going to be. But in most cases, when it comes to security, the court would have the upper hand.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, do you think that should be provisions for a committee or someone to evaluate suggested security improvements, and do you think that there should be a oversight, since this is state money, for both the courthouse changes that have to take place and the security, that there should be some kind of oversight so that the legislature would hear back of how these monies were being spent and that there's some accountability?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I want the legislature to be accountable. If you look on page 1, lines 23 to 25, we do have in at the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court can appoint an advisory task force and to be able to make sure that the grants are given out in a proper method. I refer back a little bit to the process we've had over the last, well, 10, 15 years of having some capital monies available for local libraries to be able to address their handicapped accessibility of Americans with Disability Act. And that's been very successful. It was run by the Department of Administration. I don't think there was any misuses of those particular funds over those years. In fact, is I think most of the smaller libraries have been able to address their handicap accessibility and have not, built huge aggressive type of expenditures. I'm not sure exactly how we would address the legislature reviewing it. I'm never against that, but if you have some language, I'd be sure willing to consider that.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Murphy.
I know I'm an author of this. I probably wouldn't have made this question if I hadn't heard in this I think it was in this committee about the grant processes that were used for jail planning, regional jail planning. I either heard it in this committee or in capital investments just last week that there were grants issued, some $800,000+ of grants issued, and the money was spent, and we have no idea. The plans that are coming before have no connection before us, have no connection with the grants that were let out. And I had Mr. Carger doing some investigation on that statement that was made right here. And so I would hate for somebody to come back in another couple of years and say $10 million was spent, and we don't know what it was spent on, and it was just distributed. And this advisory task force, I guess maybe I would like, I'd feel more comfortable if it was more than advisory, but let me think about it for a while. But I was disturbed by the statement that was made last week about that other grant process, and we haven't seen any results. And so that
was just a little bit of money compared to
this.
And it doesn't have anything to do with this proposal, but I just
want
to make sure that something like that has never
said
again.
Commissioner Fink.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, you'll note on line 19 it says that the improvements must be part of the capital improvement plan that is adopted by the counties. Those plans are required to be sent to the state for review before we can go for bonding. And that's the way the process works right now. What you would be doing is contributing a portion of the bonding that would already go out. So we're really not asking you for the planning money at this point. We're actually asking you for the actual capital bricks and mortar type of improvements that would occur. And an example of that would be in St. Louis County right now, and Representative Solberg said it really well, that many of the courthouses are quite old. St. Louis County's was built in the early 1900s. We are in the process today of going through a new HVAC system. We have to put a new backbone system in and then distribute that to the various office spaces. over the years, we've taken we've taken little steps to improve the air quality in the building. But as we become more employees with state employees in there, there will be air quality standards that we're going to have to meet that we just need to change out these kinds of systems. And every courthouse will be in the same situation. That will be clearly well-defined in its capital improvement plan. And you will approve that before we are even able to go out for bonds. So we think that there's some good protection in here for the for legislature.
Anything further at this time, Representative Murphy?
No.
Okay, Representative Paymar.
I have a question for Mr. Carger. If you can answer it, I don't know. If there are sources of federal money, but under Section 1B, I'm just wondering if you know of other resources, particularly federal resources, either through the Department of Homeland Security or, since 9/11, I know there's federal money available, so to defray some of the costs of security improvements rather than having the state pay 100%. Do you know, or is that, if there are some sources of money, rather than having us commit total state funding for this?
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar, no, I don't, but I could place a call to the Homeland Security Division to see if there are possibility of any federal funds on this.
You can do that then and have that information when we take these up next week, maybe for further discussion. Representative Paymar, is that it? Any other questions? Last call. Don't see any. Anyone in the audience wanting to be heard on this bill? Raise your hand. I don't see any hands. Representative Solberg, anything else?
Mr. Chairman, just thank you for your opportunity and for your due consideration of this. I think that we should... try to realize that we do have a partnership with the counties, and as we had a partnership with the local units of government on handicap accessibility with libraries, and this may not be this won't solve the problem, but I do think that we do have some obligation as well to try to help counties on this very issue. So as we fine tune it, I'm sure I'd be willing to look at all those considerations, and particularly the federal funds as well. Maybe we can use that to match things. So, thank you.
Before you leave, there appears to be one other question, but again, thanks to this gentleman for coming here today. Representative Eastland.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Solberg, this is just a kind of a comment about the effect. What do we do to balance the equity? I mean, I would assume that there is a much higher need for this kind of revenue in areas where courthouses are older, more outdated. There's other communities that have spent a lot of local dollars and really made the local effort to upgrade their community courthouses and court facilities, and they've done that at their own taxpayer expenses. And so now to come in with this at some point, I mean, there is just that equity issue. Could you comment on that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think that's a legitimate concern. I know in my own county, Itasca County, they were given a new judge, and they paid their local property tax to remodel the courthouse to accommodate that additional courtroom. But I do think, you know, you start someplace. I think we had that same thing, and I'll refer back to the bonding proposals we had over the years to help libraries with handicap accessibility. Some local communities had the resources to be able to do that, and some of them didn't. I think it was a successful model that we didn't pay for it all, and that's why I wanted the up to business in there. I do think that this will help encourage probably other counties to be able to address these issues, because I think they are pressing issues. Plus, I think it's also legitimate to say that these are state employees in the courthouses as well, and we have to have some responsibility for that. We really don't pay the county's rent, and as we would as the state agency was leasing a building from Lafayette Square or someplace like that. I think your concerns are legitimate, and I don't know how to address it other than you can't go back retroactively. You know. Sure.
Further questions on that? Representative Solberg, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Very good. Committee, before we get away, just a couple items. The page is passing out a worksheet listing the bonding proposals before the committee that have been laid over. I think the sheet is self-explanatory. We'll use it so you can take it home with you and return it with your ranked preferences of these bills. Today is Wednesday. We have until next week, Thursday, to process these proposals, rank them, and move them forward. Next week, just looking at the calendar, I don't think I've specifically said it, but we have, as far as time frames go, with being out of here on Wednesday from noon. Is it noon Tuesday or noon Wednesday? Noon to noon on Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday morning we will be having excuse me a committee meeting. It's my intention that we've scheduled the issue of privatization of prisons for testimony in that day. We have at least two of the three major privateer contenders in the state who are scheduled and have committed to being here on Tuesday to answer any questioning that we have. I suspect we'd also have someone here from the Department of Corrections to provide information. So that's Tuesday morning. We also have time slots next week, Wednesday and Thursday evening, which we have nothing scheduled for. However, we do have to process the bonding bills forward. So we may be doing one of those evenings, one of those late afternoon evenings. With that, I'm going to ask Mr. Matzik, the committee administrator, to be a little more thorough in explaining our ranking sheet. Mr. Matzik?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Just a brief overview. In conversations with the Capital Investment Committee, there are three different routes that we could take with a bonding project. We could give it a committee recommendation and rank it 1, 2, or 3. We could leave it off our committee recommendations, and the project would still be alive, so to say, and available for the Capital Investment Committee to include in their bonding bill. Or we could give a project a negative recommendation, which would, in effect, kill the bill, would not allow Capital Investment to include that particular project into their capital investment or bonding bill. So the task would be to rank the projects in an order that you would prefer to see them funded. If you do not want to give it a rank but would like to keep it alive, leave the ranking blank. And if you would like to give a project a negative recommendation, write negative recommendation next to the project.
Let that sink in and see if we have any questions. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have an idea of how much bonding dollars this committee is looking at all?
Representative Hillstrom, no. Frankly, I'm open to any way or I'm open to considering any proposal, any direction you want to move in. I think we should look at the necessity of these items. We're talking bonding. We're not talking necessarily a dollar max that we're looking at. I think leadership from both sides of the House and both bodies of the legislature are going to determine that at some point. So I think we should rank
according to what we believe is necessary for the state. And if that means all of them, then, you know, clearly there's got to be a one, a two, a three, so that's the purpose of this exercise. I think all of these bills, all of these requests have merit, or they wouldn't have been before us. Also, I've extended the suggestion to your lead Democrat that if you feel the need for any additional testimony on any of these bonding requests, we have the time, and I need to know about it so we can set that. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to say we want to think about this, and I think I would like my caucus members on in this committee to have a small meeting before we turn this in. And you're saying you're asking for these by Thursday?
Wednesday, preferably, yes, next week, a week from today. And if you have any questions, my office is open, the committee administrator is open. We will have time to meet before the, you know, the drop-dead time on these. So is there any need for any additional information? I felt there was on the issue of the privatization. That's why we're going to have that testimony on Tuesday morning. I have nothing further. Is there anything further before the committee? If not, this meeting is adjourned. Oops. No, we did not adjourn this meeting. We still have minutes on the calendar, so we'll just quickly revert to those minutes from the meeting of February 24, 2004. Representative Powell moves the minutes. Any questions or concerns? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Thank you. Minutes adopted.